You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Well, hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Farchive. And this is my guest for the day, Wally, who does an awesome project called Crystalline. Wally, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hey, everybody. Wally Wingert here. You probably know me as a voice actor from Invader Zim and Family Guy and Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes and the Garfield Show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, a few years ago, I created a 13 short story series called Donnie Druthers' Crystalline Capers, because like the lead character in my story, I have always loved Christmas and Halloween kind of equally. And these short stories in audible form on crystalline.net are basically my homage to the mashup of my two favorite holidays. A monsterful Christmas is my goal. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Very, very awesome. It's awesome to have something that's kind of nice and family friendly. I have two kids that we could definitely check out together, and it matches up. I'm a big Halloween guy, but of course it's hard not to love Christmas, especially with children.
Sure.
So it's really cool to kind of get a chance to have monsters year round for me. You know, even after Halloween's over, I can still get my monsters.
Exactly right. Well, that was kind of the goal of this thing. I hang out at a lot of these monster conventions, you know, Monsterpalooza, Midsummer Scream, and all these places. And I started noticing that a lot of people were making Christmas ornaments, but half-eaten gingerbread men and deranged zombie elves and all these other things. And I was like, you know, this is kind of cool, and I've always kind of been into this myself. They call it Dark Christmas. So either Gothic Christmas or Dark Christmas. Apparently, I did some research and found out that green is the number one color of Christmas trees, of course, but a close second is black Christmas trees for some reason. People like black Christmas trees and they hang orange lights on them and skeletons and stuff. So I thought, yeah, there's really a lot to this, and I think I'm really onto something here. So I did these monster stockings, which not a lot, you know, Christmas stockings, but they're stockings, like, you know, a monster would stalk you at night. So they're stockings. I did 14 of them, all in different monster, you know, feet. And it started many, many years ago when I was interested in a girl who had a Creature from the Black Lagoon tattoo. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna find her a Creature from the Black Lagoon Christmas stocking. It's always about a girl. Everything, all the great rock and roll songs always started with a girl. So I made a Creature from the Black Lagoon Christmas stocking based on, you know, my design. And I had my seamstress throw it together. And I lost interest in the girl, but I kept interested in the stockings. And somebody said, well, why don't you do Dracula, Wolfman? Why don't you do Frankenstein and the Bride? I said, oh, that's a great idea. So I did this small line of five Christmas stockings, Frankenstein, Bride, Mummy, Creature, and Wolfman, and just their feet. And there were Christmas stockings that looked like their feet, you know, Frankenstein's boot and Wolfman's paw. So an author friend of mine said, why don't you write stories about how these Christmas stockings came to be and sell them as a book and toy set? I've said, well, that's a great idea because the stories will come easy. So I sat down and I said, what would an adult monster kid want to read to their kids at Christmas? Well, it's got to rhyme because there's nostalgic remembrances of Night Before Christmas and All Through the House, remembrances of the Grinch, you know, and that being in the Seussian rhyme scheme. I said, you know, for nostalgia's sake, I'm going to make these rhyming stories. So I sat down and wrote one rhyming story about the Frankie stocking, about how Crystalline came to be. And then the second one was about the mummy who becomes a rapping rapper. He's very good at rapping things, of course. So he's all wrapped, but he wraps Christmas gifts for a living. But he's also a rapper. And he becomes an international, worldwide rapping sensation. So then the next story is the bride. And then there's Wolfie, who's actually one of Santa's reindeer, Blitzen, who has a small flaw in his DNA, and every full moon he turns into a weird deer. So he, you know, sprouts, so he turns into, he walks upright, but he's not the kind of werewolf that you and I would know, or a wolfman who kills things and eats things. He's a wolf like you'd meet in a nightclub. Hey, baby, how you doing? Good to see you. What's your sign? Hey, look at my jewelry. You know, that kind of guy, and he's very, very obnoxious. So the other reindeer decide that they just can't deal with Blitzen when he's in his disguise as Wolfie. So Donnie, our lead character, has to figure something out. So it's all, but all the audibles are free. I narrated them myself. They've all been sound designed with music and sound effects, and they're all up on Christoween.net. One was released every Saturday at 1:13 in the afternoon. That's 13:13 military time. The number 13 runs throughout our stories. We have 13 chapters. We started first chapter on October 2nd, and the 13th and final chapter will be released on Christmas Day.
Cool.
So it's very exciting. I just was at Season Screenings, a convention here in Pasadena this past weekend, and talked to some people and sold a few books and sold some merchandise. And so we're just kind of spreading the word about Christoween, planting the seed. So hopefully it'll catch on and people will enjoy the stories. And, Christoween.net. But it's .net, by the way, like the kind you throw over a werewolf. Christoween.net, like you throw over a werewolf. And, then I hope you'll enjoy the stories. There, you know, we go on, the creature from the deep. He meets the creature from the deep. Can't say Black Lagoon. Creature from the deep. And come to find out, creature from the deep is allergic to seafood. So there has to be a little Christmas magic woven in to make sure that he has a way to defeat that small allergy. So they all have some sort of Christmas angle. Santa always plays a part in this somehow. Some stories have more of a Christmas angle than the others. Some are just, you know, fun stories about Donnie and his experiences with these mini monster friends. But he meets an attorney who's a shark, who's a real shark, and he has a friend who's an invisible, you know, girl who is a really smart girl in school, and she got bullied, so she decided to make herself invisible. But guess what? She forgot to make the antidote to make herself visible again. So they have to talk to Santa and try and work some sort of deal. He meets Dracula's two teenage daughters. Dracula's a single father, by the way. Not sure if you knew that. He's a single father of two teenage daughters, and it drives him crazy. One is Dracula Tifa, and the other is Dracula Tina. And Dracula
I
Tifa
just
is a...
to the Dracula Tina episode, which is the newest one as of the time we're talking here.
Right, exactly. That's episode 12, yeah. Well, you have to go back to the Dracula Tifa story because that sets up the sibling rivalry.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, I need to go back. You know, so, yeah.
But Donnie always, you know, always just said, oh, we can rely on Santa. Santa can do anything. Santa can do this. But Santa actually tells him, well, in order to, you know, fix this, you should probably do it yourself, which makes compels Donnie to have to talk to Count Dracula himself to try and pitch him on this idea he had for Dracula Tina. So it's like, you know, it's a coming of age thing where it's like, well, I got to do this for myself. I can't rely on Santa to do everything for me. But, it's pretty great. And the final episode, which is released on Saturday, Christmas Day, is called Donnie Down with the Sickness, where the monsters and, well, I have a good friend. His name is Dan Roebuck, who's a very great character actor and a fellow horror fan. And I said, Dan, I got to wind this up with chapter 13. What's a good story idea? It's like, well, I've always liked monster team-ups. You know, I like Abbott Costello meet Frankenstein and House of Frankenstein, all that. I was like, yeah, that'd be great to get them all together. So what would bring them all together? What's their common interest in the whole thing? Well, their common interest is their friendship with Donnie Druthers, who's this 9-year-old weird kind of young Tim Burton-esque kind of kid who's a little odd. So their common interest is him. So if there's anything wrong with him, then they'd all have to leap into action. Well, they haven't heard from him. It's getting really close to Christmas. Santa hasn't heard from him. He hasn't submitted his Christoween wish to Santa yet this year. So Santa calls and says, hey, what's going on? Anybody heard from Donnie? Well, come to find out, he's down with this thing called Mongolvanian Scourgicitis 13. And they have to go figure out they have to go find the absolute cure to Mongolvanian Scourgicitis 13. Now, this was written, I wrote this in the middle of 2019. This is way before anything current. So it actually was not ripped from the headlines. It was actually done way before that happened. But they, all the monsters.
There's a little less ominous that knowing that.
exactly. No, this was all way before that because, you know, I'd get flus and all the stuff, you know, when I was a kid. Never got Mongolvanian Scourgicitis 13, however. But there's a cure for it, but it's really hard to find. And all the monsters have to kind of use their individual strengths to pull together as a team and find out how to get their friend Donnie taken care of. There's a zombie friend that Donnie has named Zombie. who's very much similar to the King of Rock and Roll, hence the zombie. And his catchphrase is, "Thank you very much." And but Zombie's problem is that as he's been on tour, he's a zombie, he's decaying, he's falling apart. As he's been on tour, he seems to lose a body part in every city he plays in. And the cities that he plays in have, the name of the cities have something to do with the body part that he loses. You know, like he lost his neck in Great Neck. It's kind of funny. So this head shows up at Donnie's doorstep asking for help. And he says, basically, I got this big Christmas concert with Wolfie coming up on Christmas in Lost Wages, and I ain't got my body, man. You got to help me out. And Donnie's like, well, I don't know what I can do. But it takes some secret tech from Santa to be able to figure out how to get all his parts assembled again. And then Donnie, who's really good at making these stockings, has to get out his needle and thread and kind of put Zombie all back together again. So it's kind of fun. It's written basically, you know, like I said, with the intent of adult monster kids. These are not kids' books, but they are kid friendly.
They're definitely kid friendly and or family friendly, whatever you want to call it. But they're not like, they definitely appeal as someone who grew up into monsters, into horror. You know, for me as an adult, you know, I'm 40, and you know, yeah, they definitely. The ones I've listened to so far definitely strike a chord with me. In fact, you know what they remind me of, and this might not be a reference you know, but there's this band that I was very into here in the Philadelphia area, called Mercury Radio Theater, named after the old Mercury Radio Theater.
Exactly.
You know, that's on War of the Worlds. And they used to do these awesome stories where they were an instrumental, like, surf punk band, maybe like Man or Astro Man kind of thing. What they did is they played these stories, and in between, all the interlude music is what they played live. So they had this cool old radio, and it, out of the radio would play the story. And it reminds me so much of their latter ones, because in kind of their arc, I think they're, you know, they did like 10 episodes, but when they got to like episodes 6, 7, 8 of these different stories, they actually started doing almost these, horror monster versions of a Shel Silverstein novel. A book.
Oh, nice.
Love
Shel Silverstein. Every time my garbage.
You have that kind of same flow, that same flow that reminds me.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, he had a lot of whimsy, and that's what I really loved in his stuff was the whimsy. And, you know, when Dr. Seuss would just make up words, if he couldn't find a word to rhyme with a certain word, he'd just make up a word. And I'm like, sure, I'm just going to make up a word. But there are so many references in there to Dark Shadows, Forrest J. Ackerman, Victoria Fibes. I mean, there's stuff that kids just aren't going to get. But the adult monster kids are going to go, oh, I totally get that. But I think of Shel Silverstein every time my garbage piles up. And I say, Sarah, Sylvia, Cynthia, Stout would not take the garbage out.
That's funny.
It piled up and piled up and piled up. Dr. Demento used to play some Shel Silverstein every once in a while, so I love that. But, yeah, it's just all these influences I had as a kid, and I just wanted to throw them all together into this story series. And I thought, well, you know, if somebody else gets these, that's great. If not, you know, I did it for myself, and it's very entertaining. The stories seem to kind of write themselves. I would sit down and have one of these stories done within just a few hours, because really they literally just kind of poured out and the rhymes just kind of happened organically. And I thought about maybe writing these not as a rhyme, like, no, for Christmas it's got a rhyme, because, you know, night before Christmas, and especially the Grinch. We all love how the Grinch rhymes, you know. And my cat Spooky is up here. Spooky, get down. Spooky, get down. My cat Spooky is trying to get me to feed him some dinner. And I'll get around to it, but I'm his boss. He's not mine. So, you know how cats are. So that's the story of the Christoween Capers. And shortly after the first of the year, we're probably going to pull them down. And they'll only be accessible until a little after New Year's. And then we'll bring them back again next year. Maybe improved, maybe remixed. Who knows what we're going to do? Maybe we'll have some different merch that we'll sell. We have Frankie ornaments, you know, in the shape of Frankie's head. We have Christoween beanies. We have all kinds of T-shirts. We have seven different prints.
I'll be waiting for them on limited edition vinyl.
Boy, wouldn't that? Oh, that's a good idea. I could get all 13 stories probably on a record. That'd be great. So, and you know, with the click,
people like this would eat it up at a convention, man.
Sure, with clicks and pops in it, you know, and the scratchiness of the old, like listening to one of those old albums, Famous Monsters Speaks with Gabriel Dell, or listening to one of the old Boris Karloff, you know, albums that he used to tell stories. That'd be great. So, where were you when I needed you? I could have used you earlier this year to make those albums. That's a good idea.
For 2022, don't worry. We got
oh, good. Awesome. I'm going to take it and run with it because people don't listen to CDs anymore, but boy, they sure love their records. They sure love their vinyl records.
It's funny. It's either record or digital. Like, you know, like you, there's no in-between anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
it's either really crappy quality or really good quality. There's no in the middle quality anymore. It's very strange. Yes. So that's the story of Chris DeWeen, and I hope that everybody enjoys the stories. And like I said, in the third and final, or the 13th and final story, with all the monsters, Donnie discovers the true meaning of Christmas. You'll hear it toward the end there on Christmas Day that how. You know, he's, well, you'll see. I don't want to spoil anything, but.
Well, hey, I'll be excited to check that out with everybody else. And besides just Chris DeWeen, if people want to follow other things that you're up to, are you on social media? Are there any way to see what you're doing?
Sure. Yeah, there's, my website is wallyontheweb.com. Wally Wingert at Twitter and wally.wingert, I believe, on Instagram. You'll find me there, the long-haired guy with the goatee. And follow all the exploits. I like to build puppets, so I have a lot of puppet stuff up on my personal stuff in addition to doing the Chris DeWeen stuff. But now how old are your kids?
My oldest is just turned 13, so I now have a teenager in the house, and my youngest is 10. I just have two boys, but my oldest is way into horror, so he's
I think well, the 10-year-old too, because the lead character Donnie is basically 10, and we deal with everything from you know, these stories are fun, but when I finished them up, I realized each of these stories have some little message, and I didn't mean to put the message in. It's just like, well, here's the thing that we dealt with in this episode. This was, you know, dealt with jealousy. This dealt with sibling rivalry. This dealt with sacrifice. This deals with lack of self-confidence. This one deals with bullying. This one deals. And I'm like, oh, yeah, each of the stories have something to do. And, you know, in the one where Donnie has to face down Chris DeWeen, the shark, who wants to sue Donnie for using his name in his stories, it's Chris DeWeen, not Chris DeWeen, but Chris DeWeen, the attorney, wants to sue him. So, but it's all about, you know, standing up for yourself and saying, hey, wait a minute, this is, you know, let's talk about this, let's be fair. And, you know, Donnie has to face down this huge shark lawyer and then realizes that the shark lawyer is mean because of one very specific thing that happened to him when he was a little kid. So it all is Santa Claus related. So it's like, well, it all comes back to the jolly man. And there's a spider in it that he meets that is an artistic spider that does these amazing webs. And he's like, boy, I really like hanging out with you, but you're so small and I'm so large. How can we do that? But then there's where Santa Claus comes in again and the Chris DeWeen magic. Now, Santa is different in our stories. He's not the Santa in the Rudolph show. This Santa is a bit wacky. He's an inventor. He's a bit absent-minded professor. He's a wizard. He's an alchemist. He's a crazy genius. So he's really thin.
That's kind of the way I envision Santa anyway. So, you know.
Yeah, me too, yeah. Well, it'd have to be because look at all the tech he creates, you know. So,
right.
But there's some secret Santa tech that has never been revealed to the world before. And you will hear that in these stories, all of his secret tech that you never knew existed. But, yeah, you know now, so the secret's out. So, anyway, he's very thin and he's got kind of a biker beard. And he looks kind of like a bike. He wears these big, you know, thick round glasses. And he's thin, but he has a pot belly. That's the only thing about him that's fat. Because the guy really never eats. He's in his lab all the time mixing some potions together or whatever.
Pot belly's just cookies, I guess, you know.
Exactly, right. Because he lives literally on cookies and probably coffee.
Yeah,
he's in the lab. Yep, he's in the lab all the time. He gets lots of cookies. He's got those stacked up in the corner. Eh, you got to have something to eat. So, but, you know, Santa's at a loss in the 13th story because something happens that's just kind of outside of his wheelhouse. And he's like, look, guys, this is not my expertise. You got to handle this yourselves. So I'm proud of these stories. I like them. And not one story can I listen to without getting a tear in my eye at some point in the story, just because it's just so cool. You know, it's like everything I'm into, and it's just sweet and fun, and I think the kids will really dig them. There was a kid I met at Season Screamings this past weekend who bought a book and stocking set of Frankie Stocking from the first book, Frankified. And his mom said the greatest thing. She said, well, his reading was not very good in school, and he was failing. But he wanted to read the books that he wanted to read, Stephen King and all the other kind of books. And she made it. This is the mother of the year, as far as I'm concerned. She went to the school and said, hey, will you grade him on the books that he wants to read as opposed to the books you want him to read? And they said, yes, we will do that. And once that happened, his reading went to AA+. He was top of the class. Top reader, because he was just wanting to read something that interested him. And that's kind of, and he was about 10 years old, 11 years old. And I said, dude, you're exactly like me. You're like the younger version of me when I was a kid, because I had comic books and monster magazines, and the exact same as Donnie Druthers, our lead character, who just wants what he wants and nothing else really interests him. And if you look at the animatic, well, not the animatic, because we did an animatic for the first episode. But if you happen to see a copy of the first book, Frankified, you'll notice that some of the images are in black and white. Because the things, if you're looking at that world through Donnie's eyes, the world is basically just black and white. Except the things that interest him. Those are in color. You see what I mean?
That's cool.
So if he's in a class, the majority of the class is black and white. It's just blah, 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 monotone, gray, boring. However, certain things interest him, a girl's earrings, the eyes of a certain guy, a certain color of a kid's hair, a logo on a kid's T-shirt. So those things are colored. But mostly everything else that just does not interest him is just so much blah, 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 as I say in one of the stories, that only a few things really deserve being colored in his world, because the rest is just, I'm just not seeing any of this stuff. It's just noise. You know, it's all just visual noise. So that was a lot like me. If it was something that really keenly interested me as a kid, boy, I was all about it. But other than that, I was like, I could take this or leave this. So it's kind of how he goes. And again, this kid that I met, same thing with him as well. He's like, yep, he liked what he liked, and he did these amazing cosplays of the scary little clown doll from Poltergeist. He did a couple of other characters. He did the Santa gremlin from the Gremlins. Just amazing cosplays. But, you know, he applied an amazing amount of detail to the stuff that interested him. And the stuff that didn't interest him, I don't really care so much. So
fair enough.
I said, dude, you've got to read these stories. You've got to hear these stories because this kid is you. So anyway, and I think this kid is a lot of us, especially us monster kids who were a bit misunderstood when we were growing up, you know.
I totally get it. Well, hey, Wally, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk and I'm gonna get into the rest of these episodes now this week so that I'll be ready on Christmas to hear the final one. So that's awesome.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool because with the monster team up happening on Christmas, you gotta hear all the other monster stories so you can figure out what their particular contribution to this crisis is that happens in story 13. So thank you very much. I appreciate it, Justin, and we'll be in touch.
That sounds great. Take care.
Have a scary Christmas.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas and
you,
Merry Christmas.
You too. Thank you. Happy Christmas.
Now, here's a ticklish tale about Christoween. The weirdest take on Christmas that you've likely ever seen. It came from little Donnie Druthers' fertile mastermind. You've seen some celebrations, friend, but nothing of this kind. You take some Christmas, then you add a pinch of Halloween. See the animatic, then you'll see what I mean. How Santa almost didn't make it one Christmas Eve. But Frankenstein stepped in to save it, can you believe? Christoween provides a lot of monsterful joy with 13 stories stalking Santa and an odd boy who talks to famous monsters he considers as friends. Yes, in the world of Christoween, the fun never ends. Meet Mort Mummy, Snyder, Spider, Invisible Nan. There's Bride, there's Wolfie, Zombie, is he monster or man? Mooney Creature, Christoween, and Dracula's Girls. The expansive Christoween is such a fabulous world.